The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to take this special Sunday to introduce our theme this morning and this evening from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And tonight we'll link the theme with the strategy, but this morning we're going to learn more about this word renew and what it means to be renewed in the Lord. And so let's all stand together, and if you don't have a Bible, look inside the bulletin. You'll find the message scripture text as well as the outline for today's message, and I do trust you'll follow along there. Now, the new year is a great time for renewal. It's a great time for changes, and hopefully those are all good changes for you. I heard about one poor fellow that dialed his girlfriend's number on the phone, and he had an answering recording that came on, and it said, "I'm not available right now, but thank you for caring enough to call. I am making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you are one of those changes." And hopefully that's not the case for you this year. Although if you need to lose the wrong kind of a friend, that might be a good decision. So I don't know what your decisions and renewals are, but I pray that this morning's message will show you the spiritual secret and the key to really living a renewed life in 2014. And I want you to follow with me. It's going to take just an extra moment, but I want to read the entire chapter. I think that's about the best way to get the context of what we're going to study together this morning, and I'll be referring back to some of these earlier verses. And so follow with me as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 18, and then we'll have a word of prayer. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak." And now our text, verses 14 through 18. "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I draw your attention this morning to verse 16. I'd ask you to read it with me. 2 Corinthians 4:16, ready, begin. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man..." Shall we pray? Father, do a renewing work in our hearts this year. May that work begin this morning. And for that one that may be here without Jesus as their Savior, may they be born again the Bible way this morning, renewed by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we gather here this morning, I believe the biblical view of this church is that we are a called out assembly of saved, baptized believers. There are many church houses where people attend, but the people attending that church are not saved. Hence, they are not a scriptural church. A scriptural church is comprised of people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior. They have identified with Jesus in water baptism. And they, comprising the bride of Jesus Christ, are serving the Lord Jesus Christ as the Master and Lord of their lives. And as His servants, as His church today, we are called to lift up Jesus in a society that is constantly rejecting Jesus. Over the last 10 or 20 years, we have been taught and we have been preached to from the secular media that we are to have more tolerance. And yet what is happening in America is not merely tolerance. What is happening in America is the exaltation of sinful lifestyle. Not merely the tolerance of it, but the exaltation of sinful lifestyle. And so in a country that is so depraved and oftentimes so misguided spiritually, God has established churches like this one. And He says to us in 2 Timothy 3:15 that the church of the living God is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. So let's understand by way of introduction this morning, we are a church, a called out assembly of believers, and we have a responsibility, and that is to be the pillar and the ground of truth, or to lift up the truth like a lighthouse in the sea that is so destructive oftentimes in America, where people are calling out with need spiritually. The church is to lift up the truth. And I might ask you this morning, if the church, if this church does not lift high the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God, where will that truth be lifted up? I don't know if you've noticed it, but the mainstream media is not going to lift up the truth of God. And the university systems of California are not going to lift up the truth of God. I don't know if you've noticed it, but if the church doesn't do its job, America is nigh well done, spiritually speaking. God has given us the job to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And one of the best chapters for understanding how this works is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here we gain an understanding about the ministry and our involvement in the ministry of the Lord. Now notice, if you would, in this chapter, by way of introduction, three ministry truths that we need to understand this morning. First of all, we learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the ministry of the Lord is something that we receive at salvation. In other words, when God saves you, He saves you with a purpose in mind, all right? Look at what it says in verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, someone might say, well, Paul, where did you receive the ministry? Well, he received that ministry, according to verse number 18 of chapter 3, at the moment of his salvation. At the time he received Christ, God placed him into the ministry to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not be a preacher, you may not be an evangelist or a missionary, but let me assure you from the scripture, God has called every one of His children to minister to Him and for Him. The Bible says that the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The staff are not the hired guns, so to speak, to do all of the work of the ministry, but that all of us together are called to do the work of the ministry. This would be a great year if some of you would recognize, you know what? I'm not an engineer. I'm the servant of God. First and foremost, I'm not a computer scientist, I'm the servant of God. I am not a contractor, I am not a construction worker, I am not a police officer, first and foremost. What I am, first and foremost, is the servant of God, because when Jesus saved me, He gave me a new purpose for my life. And so we see in the Bible that the ministry is something we receive at salvation, a new life in Christ. Secondly, the centerpiece of the ministry is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, right at the middle of everything we do at Lancaster Baptist Church is the gospel message. Now, notice that in verse 3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, stay with me by way of introduction. Let's read this verse together. Verse 3, ready, begin. But if our gospel be hid, all right? So, if our gospel is not preached, if that pillar is not lifted up, if this church does not do its job, then the gospel is hid to those that are lost. So assumption number one, all of us are in the ministry beginning at salvation. Assumption number two, the centerpiece of the ministry is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to know that the ministry sometimes involves suffering. Sometimes the ministry, if you're going to recognize your calling, if you're going to be faithful in getting the gospel out, sometimes suffering will come into your life. Now notice what Paul said about that here in this very chapter, verse 18. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Those who say that if you serve God, you'll never be sick, you'll never be poor, you'll never have a tough time, they're not preaching the New Testament gospel. Yes, we're always victorious. We always triumph in Jesus Christ. But sometimes faithful Christians will have trials as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come together this moment, and as we understand our mission as a New Testament church, I think you might recognize that if we're going to be in the ministry, holding high the banner of truth, sometimes suffering persecution, then we will need renewal in our heart if we're going to make it through 2014. We're going to have the renewing work of God to help us make it through this year. Now there's many reasons why we need renewal this year. And as I prayed over this theme, I'll share some of them with you. I believe some of you in this auditorium need renewal simply because you've been saved a long time. You're not as young as you used to be. You've come to a place in your life where it's a little tougher to get out of bed than it used to be. And sometimes you don't feel as well as you used to feel. And I want you to understand scripturally that when that is the case, we are prime candidates for the renewing work of God. We need renewal when we have longevity, when we are not as young as we used to be. Some of you may need renewal because you are working in a very secular situation where there's a lot of cursing, there's a lot of pornography, there's a lot of discouragement, there's a spouse that's not saved, there's people pulling you down, and you need the renewing work of God because of the life that you're living in, because of where you work, and because of the circumstances. Some of you need renewal because of physical ailment. Others need renewal because of spiritual opposition that comes your way. Well, the word renew, of course, is a Bible word. And I want you to see, as we study the scriptures, how we might be renewed today. The word renew means to make new. It means to produce something new. God's going to show us in His word tonight, Isaiah 40:31. It means to exchange power with God. It means that God wants to give us strength for the new year. Now, many of us, as we approach a new year, we might think about renewing certain things. We might think about renewing our exercise or our diet. We might think about renewing our Bible reading. We might think about renewing our vows to our spouse. You know what? All of that is good. But if there's anyone that deserves our renewal, and if there's anyone that can renew us, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see with me this morning how the Apostle Paul was renewed for the work that God gave him in the local church. Notice, first of all, God wants to renew the purpose of our ministry. He wants to renew the purpose of our ministry. Now notice, if you would, in verse 15, the Bible says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." The glory of God. Would you say that with me, please? The glory of God. Now, I want you to know that in the new year, the purpose of our lives in ministry is to glorify God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. He said, I don't want to do anything that would take away from the glory of God. Philippians 2 and verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, as we understand this purpose to glorify God, I want to give you two categories and two areas where you and I can glorify God in the new year. First of all, trials are for the glory of God. Those of you that have had some trials, I want you to see them as an opportunity to give God glory. Notice in verse 15, he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Paul had selflessly served this church. He said, all things are for your sake. You say, what things, Pastor? Well, things like being troubled and perplexed, things like being cast down, things like being forsaken, always bearing in his body. In other words, Paul was imprisoned, Paul was beaten, Paul was snake bitten. Paul suffered all these things so that the grace of God could be known by the churches. He had served God and served God's people so that the grace of God could be known. In fact, notice in verse 15, he says that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving. In other words, he said, I suffered these things so that you might know more about the grace of God. Romans 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. By the way, how many of you are thankful this morning for the grace of God? And Paul said, I labored so that you might know the grace of God. I suffered all these things so that you might know more about the grace of God. Now look right here. No one is going to accept Jesus in the new year unless we're willing to suffer or to lay aside our conveniences. The fact of the matter is, no one is going to know about Jesus if we don't go out and tell them about Jesus. And Paul said, listen, the purpose of my ministry was to glorify God, and if I had to suffer some so that his grace would be known, then glory to God, I'm glad that his grace was known. It may mean this year that on Wednesday night for soul winning, you'll have to get off that couch a little bit, maybe miss a meal, maybe inconvenience yourself to go out and tell a friend about Jesus Christ. It may mean that you'll embarrass yourself a little bit and you'll have to die to self, as the scriptures say, in order to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I suffered all these things so that you could know the grace of God. And if we will be a church that only does that which is convenient to us, then we will never know the great things of God in the new year. But we must be willing to inconvenience ourselves in order that others might know about the grace of God. Oh, we thank God for the missionaries. We support missionaries. We're glad they leave America. We're glad they go tell the heathen about Jesus Christ. But how many of you understand there's heathen on your street? How many say, yeah, you got that right, Pastor. What about asking God to save some of their souls this year? What about asking God to say, Lord, help me to inconvenience myself so that they might know you, so that they might know the joy of salvation? You see, Paul said, I turned my trials into an opportunity to glorify God. I was not ashamed to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have trials. Some of you have difficulties. I'm not minimizing those. Perhaps God would let you witness to a nurse this year. Perhaps God would let you witness to your doctor. Perhaps God would let you share with someone that's causing the trial in your life. And so trials are for the glory of God. But let me say, secondly, victories are for the glory of God. Victories are for the glory of God. Now notice this verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now watch how this cycle works. The trial comes, Paul was faithful in the trial, and God's grace was spread to the Corinthian church. Now many were giving thanks, and now there was a time of victory. But even in the time of victory, it was an opportunity to redound, which means to have an abundance of glory for God. So I want you to see from the Apostle Paul that when things were bad, still he thought of the glory of God. When things were good and thanksgiving was being made, still it was to the glory of God. And so that whatever we do in the new year, it is all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 13:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. May I say to you this morning that whatever good is accomplished at Lancaster Baptist Church in 2014, that it will all be to the glory of God. For it is God that blesses, it is God that honors. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so whether it's souls that are saved, or whether it's construction that happens, or whether it's someone's family that's reunited, all of that is to the glory of God. The purpose of our ministry is to bring glory and honor to God. And when someone is saved, God is honored. And when someone's family is helped, God is glorified. And when the work of God goes forward, God is glorified. And so we see the purpose of it all, verse 15, was for the glory of God. But notice secondly this morning, not only do we need to be renewed in our purpose, but we need to be renewed in the power of our ministry. renewed in the power of our ministry. Now notice in verse 16, if you would, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now I want you to notice, first of all, the resilience of the apostle. The resilience of the apostle. And I want you to see it in this word here. And I think this is a phrase all of us could claim this morning. Notice what he says in verse 16. For the which cause we faint not. Would you say that with me? We
faint.
One more time. We
faint.
Just the men.
We faint.
All right. That was a little faint, men. Let's try it again. All right. One more time. Paul said, even though I've had all this happening in my life, I will not quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to be faithful to my God. Now, sometimes this time of year can seem a little overwhelming. One fellow said the other day, he said, the holidays aren't quite over. I'm already 90 days ahead on my calories and 90 days behind on my bills. And you may feel that way. You might think, why even start? I'm already behind. Well, let me tell you, Paul said, I will not faint. The word faint not means to be spiritless. How's your spirit this morning? Well, you know, I'm here, you know. I don't have what I used to have. Don't feel like I used to feel, but I'm here. Wait a minute. He said, I'm not going to faint in my spirit. He said, I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to be wearied out. And I want to encourage you, friend, that here was a man that by the power of God had a resilience about him to keep on going and keep on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. One man said to his friend, he said, there's nothing like getting up at 5 in the morning, taking a run around the park, getting in, getting a cold shower, and getting your day going. His friend said, yeah, wow, that's great. How long have you been doing that? He said, I'm going to start tomorrow. At least he had the right attitude. He hadn't quit, but he hadn't started either. So let me encourage you, don't quit what you've already started for God. Paul said, I'm not going to faint. Now, he was resilient in his life. Notice what he says here in verse 16. He says, for the which cause we faint not. For the which cause. Do you understand that here was a man that realized he had a cause worth living for, and it was the cause of Jesus Christ. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He said, when God saved me, he gave me something bigger to live for than an airplane, and bigger to live for than a computer, and bigger to live for than a house. He said, God gave me an eternal perspective to live for, and I'm not going to quit until God calls me home. And I'm telling you this morning, too many Baptists are going AWOL, and too many Christians are running out of the war as America sinks down. And I'm telling you, the war is not going to be won in the political house. It's going to be won in the church house as God's people get right with God. God is calling men and women today to be right with Him and to come back to a place of surrender to Him. And so may God help us to recognize there is a cause worth living for. Now the sense is that the purpose of trying to save as many as possible many times would have been a difficult toil for the Apostle Paul. But by the grace of God, he kept on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a cause to live for. But notice also in the face of trials and pain, he was faithful to God. Notice what it says in verse 16. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Notice that. The outward man perish. Now, there's two reasons Paul's outward body perished. First, because of the aging process. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you, it's like Rice Krispies getting out of bed. Snap, crackle, pop, right? I understand that. He said, my outward man is perishing. And I'm not making fun of anyone who has physical calamity. If you're like me, look it, I don't just get a headache, I get the worst headache ever. I don't just have a backache, it's the worst. I always tell my wife, oh honey, this is bad. I'll need a long back rub and probably a foot rub for this. I'm not sure how it's going to get better, but we'll try everything first. You know, when I'm sick, I'm really sick. But I'm telling you that everyone has times in their life when the outward man doesn't feel very good. So part of that was the aging process. But notice, secondly, as he says, the outward man perisheth, I believe it was also because of the suffering that he had borne in his body. Galatians 6:17. From henceforth let no man trouble me. Notice this phrase, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, none of us in America can say this. Here was a man who had scars and bruises in his body because he had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when he said the outward man is perishing, he was not talking about a headache or a toe ache. Ladies and gentlemen, he had been beaten and beaten and beaten for the cause of Jesus Christ. And here we see the resilience of a man who said, in all of this, I faint not. Adoniram Judson was a Baptist missionary to Burma in the 1800s. When war broke out with Great Britain, they thought he was British because of the color of his skin. They marched him for several days to a prison. They brought him into a little hut of a prison house. Every night they would run a bamboo through his shackles. They would hang him upside down. He would spend all of the night trying to get air, trying to keep the blood from rushing to his head until finally they would cut him down. His wife would come and bring him meals in the morning. It was the only thing that sustained him, the only hope that he had. For several years, that was the routine as this Baptist missionary preached the gospel in Burma. When he finally got out of prison, within 2 months, his wife passed away from an infection there in the jungle. Not long after that, their daughter passed away as well. This great missionary then found his way to a little hut that he had made, a place that he would abide. In 34 years of living in that hut, he had dug his own burial place next to the hut in case he were to die. And he began to witness. Very few people listened to what he had to say, but he was faithful, faithful to his God. He said, I faint not. 34 years he was faithful to God. And today, those Christians in Burma or Myanmar would tell you that many of them trace their lineage right back to the seeds that were planted by this great missionary, Adoniram Judson. The actual dictionary that is used in Myanmar today was developed by this missionary, Adoniram Judson. He was a man who simply said, though my body is perishing, I will not faint. And my friend, you may not be able to do everything you once could do, but the spirit of the new year ought to be, I want to do everything I can do for the glory of my God. I will not quit. I will not faint. I will be faithful to my God. I'm told that about 41% of Americans say they go to church sometime. But the fact of the matter is that only 20% of all Americans are faithful to the house of God on a given Sunday. I'm saying that ought not to be so. You say, well, I bet it's better with the Baptist. I bet it's better with our church, and thank God for what he's doing in our church. But one large Baptist denomination this past year put out their study just this past month from 2013, a Southern Baptist Association study. And we're not a Southern Baptist church, but just to give an idea of a trend that's happening in America. Frank Page, the president of the executive committee, gave the report stating that the numbers are declining in every area: membership, attendance, baptism, monetary giving. The only uptrend was a few of the larger churches, the mega churches, but in every other area, the trend was down. Mr. Page said, when I heard of the report, I said, God forgive us and God help us. And I find no glee in any gospel preaching church going downward. But I'm telling you, my friend, many Baptists are going AWOL. Yes, we have aches and pains. Yes, we've been hurt perhaps. Yes, we have this problem and that problem. That is all the more reason to serve God and give glory to God and find renewing from the Spirit of God. And may God help us this year not to go AWOL, not to find an easy out, but to say, by the grace of God, I will not quit. I will be faithful like the Apostle Paul to my Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a man who said, I'll be faithful. Here was a man who said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, so that I might testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He said, none of these things move me. My friend, may you determine this morning, may I determine as well, none of these things will move me. Not marks in my body, not sickness, not difficulty, not challenges that may come, but by the grace of God, may I be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the resilience of the apostle. Notice, secondly, the renewal of the apostle. He says in verse 16, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What a paradox. That while the physical man was struggling, the inward man was growing spiritually strong. Now, how does that happen? How can someone that's having the time of their life physically or financially, or they're being persecuted because they witness for Jesus, how can someone like that keep going on and be renewed? Well, renewal takes place, as the Bible says here, the inward man is renewed. It's an inner spiritual renewal. And that takes place, first of all, with the renewing of our mind. the renewing of our mind. Many of you this morning need to begin thinking biblically in the new year. The renewing of the mind. D.L. Moody once said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone that is not falling apart. And it may be that you need to get back into the nourishment of the daily reading of the Word of God. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My friend, some of you, your mind is so negative with reflective. You say, well, the nation's doing this, and the president doesn't go to church on Christmas, and this politician's crooked, and all of these different things. And all of these things may be true, but be careful that in your mind you do not become the fetus and think that the battle is over. Listen, the battle's not over until the trumpet of Jesus Christ sounds and he calls us home. But many times soldiers begin to quit before the battle's even over. Paul said, that's not for me. I'm going to be renewed in my spirit, the spirit of my mind. I'm going to put on the new man. When you open up the Word of God, God can renew the spirit of your mind. When you open up the Word of God, God can renew the inner man. And he can encourage your heart. And he can help you understand. It doesn't matter how bad the externals are. It doesn't matter all the problems happening in the world today. What matters is that you and God are right. And that God's power is still available in your life. And so we are renewed in the mind. How are your thought processes lately? Are you entering this year with sort of a defeatist attitude? Is it going to be same old like last year? Same marriage, same walk with God, same problems? What's your mind telling you? Perhaps the Word of God needs to renew your mind. That's why you need God's house. That's why at Lancaster Baptist Church, we unapologetically have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and now Thursday night services. Why? We understand, hey, in this day and age, we don't need less Bible. We need all the Bible we can get to renew our hearts and our minds, you see. It's ironic to me as a pastor. So oftentimes, people that slump into depression and discouragement and melancholy and all kinds of feelings of this type oftentimes are in less and less preaching services when we need so much the more as we see the day approaching. The renewing of our mind. Then secondly, the renewing of our spirit. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. That is where renewal begins. It begins as I think scripturally. It begins as the Spirit of God is strengthening my inner man. And that happens through prayer and through preaching and through yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. And we come to that place where we recognize it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit that I'm going to make it through. And God's giving me the strength. And how can that person in the choir smile and sing when they're going through such a difficult marital situation? It's because they have strength from the inner man. It's because there is a God. There is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. How can that woman still go soul winning and tell people about Jesus Christ when she has that sickness or that difficulty? It's because there's strength in the inner man. She's been renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to make it through this year. We're not going to have strength for this year. But with his spirit, we're renewed day by day. I heard about a school principal not long ago that said to all the teachers, he said, I want you to bring some of your New Year's resolutions and we'll put them on the staff bulletin board here in the break room and we'll just kind of keep each other accountable. And they all brought their resolutions. And one of the teachers walked in and she looked and her resolutions weren't up there and she got flat upset. I mean, she was yelling at everybody, where's my resolutions? I always get the shaft around here. How come my resolutions weren't put up and so forth? And she went to the principal and he said, wait. He said, let me check. I thought I did. Sure enough. And he went to his desk and he looked through some papers and there were her resolutions. And he said, well, I blew that one. And he was getting ready to put her resolutions up on the bulletin board. He thought he'd just take a look at them and read them. And one of her resolutions simply said that she had resolved in her first resolution that she would not let the little things upset her in the new year. I'm telling you, you can make a list of resolutions of what you will and won't do, but without the renewing of the Holy Spirit in your life, it will never be done. It's by the renewing of God in our heart. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so we see that God gives power and renewal from the inner man. And when the outward man is weary, and when the outward man is aching, and when the outward man is tired, there is a God in heaven who will minister to the inner man, and he will help us to keep on keeping on in the new year for the glory of God. Now then, when we understand that our purpose is to glorify God, and when we understand that our power is renewal by the Spirit and the Word in the inner man, then finally, we can be renewed for the priority of our ministry. Now we can look at the priority of the new year. First, we have to have the right purpose. Secondly, we must have the right power. Now we come to the priority of God in the new year. And the priority, very simply stated, is to live for the eternal in the new year. Now look at that as we close, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, the priority in the new year will first of all show us an eternal perspective. When you're living for the eternal, you're going to have a different perspective on life. Paul had learned to view his earthly trials through heavenly eyes. He knew that his body nor his life belonged to him. He knew that his body had been purchased by Jesus Christ. He knew that he did not belong to himself. And because of that, he had an eternal perspective. Because of that, he viewed his trials as momentary. He viewed his trials as light. He refers to them as our light affliction. And he said these trials in light of eternity are very light. They're very momentary. He viewed the trials really as an eternal weight of glory. Now you might say, what in the world is that? Look at that if you would in verse number 17. He says, these trials work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And thus we see there is a direct correlation between the suffering in his life on earth and his capacity to glorify God in eternity. And we see that the one who suffered the most, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now glorified the most in heaven. And God says, when you suffer as a faithful Christian on this earth, you are going to have an eternal weight of glory. You're going to have an opportunity in eternity to thank me and praise me, and you will bring honor and glory to me in that way. And so we see that the afflictions of his life were very light compared to the eternal weight of glory. The Bible is very clear, 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. God simply says, listen, your trials are a light thing, outweighed by the eternal weight of glory. If you are faithful to me in the trials on this earth, you will find an eternal weight of glory. You will find in all of eternity opportunity to praise me for the grace that I gave to you through the trials of your life. And so here we see an eternal perspective. Yes, these are difficult times, but they are short-lived, temporary, and light compared to the eternal weight of glory. Notice secondly, the eternal priorities. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Colossians says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on the things which are above. And so God is calling us in the new year to mind the eternal. He's not going to renew us so that we can live for the temporal. He says, I'm going to give you strength so that you can live for the eternal. Not the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Now listen, Paul was a Hellenistic Jew. He had been trained by a rabbi named Gamaliel. Paul could have set up, if you will, a business. He could have done well for the things that are seen. But he said, you know what? I'm not going to live for things that are seen. I'm going to live for the things that are not seen. I'm going to live for the eternal. How are you doing in that department? How are you doing when it comes to living for the eternal? Let me give you some priorities of a church that lives for the eternal. First of all, this year, let's be a church that worships God. When we come to church and sing, let's not just go through the motions and look at what somebody's wearing. Let's worship God. Secondly, let's be a church that serves God. Hebrews 11:28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. My friend, whether it's serving as an usher or choir member, whether it's somehow helping in a children's ministry or finding some way in this community, you find a way to serve your God in the new year. May I say, thirdly, let this be the year when you consistently give to your God. Determine today that you will be faithful in your tithes and offerings. The Bible says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. God says, listen, you have a lot of stuff here on this earth. That's temporal. But when you give, that is eternal. That is a way to focus on the eternal. Then may I say finally, if you want to focus on the eternal in the new year, be a faithful witness for Jesus in the new year. Be a faithful witness. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Friend, can I encourage you this year, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Pass out a gospel tract. Tell your friends and neighbors about the Lord. Invite them to church. Let God help you to focus on the eternal. This dear family that was baptized this morning, what a blessing. A few weeks ago, we had the coffee and biscotti, and I began talking with them, and the young wife, I think her name was Carmen. Was it Carmen? I think it was. And her husband, I could tell that maybe he had been saved, and Carmen, as I talked to her, I discerned she had never accepted Christ as her Savior. And I asked her if she knew that she had a relationship with God and whether she'd spend eternity in heaven. And she said, I don't know that. And she said, I think my husband knows it, but I don't know that. And just a few weeks ago over here in the other building, Carmen prayed and accepted Jesus as her Savior. And her and her husband this morning, when they got baptized, you could just see the joy in their life. You could see the desire that they have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's somebody like Carmen that wants you to tell them about Jesus Christ. Some family that could be reunited if we would just keep eternity as the priority in our worship, our service, our giving, and our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lamentation 5:21, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. May I suggest that there may be some in this auditorium who need to say, God, renew my days as of old. Give me that heart for souls that I once had. Give me that heart for you that I once had. Give me that heart for the local church that I once had. Give me that heart for my family that I once had. God, renew me as in the days of old. Help me to be like I once was. Why do we need renewal? We need renewal so that we can bring glory and honor to God. But someone says, but how can I be renewed in the inner man by His Spirit and by His Word? And what's the priority for a renewed church that we would worship and serve and honor our Lord in this new year? The other day I received a book from Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A restaurants. And I was reading through that book, and in the book, I think towards the end, he made a statement I'll never forget. He said, since my 63rd birthday, our company has opened 1,000 restaurants. About the time most people are thinking, well, I think I'll check out a soul winning. I think I'll check out a Sunday school. I think I'll roll out a church. I think I'll start doing my own thing and just kind of retire on God. About the time most people are thinking that way, this man began and has started 1,000 restaurants since his 63rd birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, if God could renew that dear Baptist man in such a way, I suggest to you that for some of you who've been thinking maybe your better days are past, your better days may be ahead. If you could say with the Apostle Paul, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Are you going to renew your mind? Are you going to let your spirit be renewed in the new year? Or are you just going to let it get worse and worse and worse? My friend, I encourage you. There is a God in heaven who wants to renew your life this year, give you renewed zeal and joy for serving Jesus Christ. I wonder how your life could be different if you would let Him do that for you. I wonder how this church could be different if all of us would be renewed in the Spirit to do the work that God has called us to do. Father in heaven, thank you for this word, renew. Thank you for an apostle that though he was troubled and tried, yet he glorified you with his life. Help us to do the same thing, Lord, in 2014. Help us to apply these principles to our lives, I pray.